Cubs head to Wrigley Field to face Chris Bryant and the Chicago Cubs.
Joey Votto, wow!
The first pitch Saturday is at 7 Eastern, Sunday at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We're coming to you from the DraftKings.com podcasting studios. DraftKings.com, America's one-day fantasy sports site, where it's like a new season every time you play. DraftKings.com.
And now, the Marty and McGee Show on ESPN Radio.
And ESPNRadio.com.
Blue ball, that's the devil. Hey, so we had a little technical difficulty, but we're on now. You should have seen, we're here at ESPN 730 in Charlotte, and it was like... It was like watching Clark and Griswold try to figure out how to turn the lights on.
Yep, he put those two cords together and a big spark flew. And the next thing you knew, we could hear our production staff up there in Death Star.
And it was so, sounded like it was about
God bless America.
Dan is there. It sounded like there's about 50 people in the room. But yeah, the good news is we got the X wire connected to the Y outlet.
As McGee so eloquently stated, Jason Sehorn will join us after a while to discuss the 49th Super Bowl, right? 49th Super Bowl. And we were going to have Eric Church on at about 3:30, but that fell apart. Eric's out in Salt Lake, I think, and he called me this morning to tell me that the stomach flu has ravaged its way through his band, his crew, and he is going to play an acoustic set tonight in front of 18,000 people all by himself for 2 hours.
Oh.
And he goes, dude, I kind of got to wrap my hands around this. So, I love you, but I'm not doing your radio show today. I got more important things to deal with.
Marty, you should make him smile as Valentine's with beautiful roses from 1-800-Flowers.com.
I think
for
I can do that.
Offers, go to 1-800-Flowers.com/ESPN. Where's he supposed to play? Is he got
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gurgle that salt water. That's what my mom used to say.
I don't think that does anything for the stomach flu, son.
No,
I think that's when you have a sore throat.
I don't know. I had a sore throat all week.
Well...
So the Super Bowl...
We're not really interested in hearing you whine about it.
Hey, Super Bowl tomorrow, and you and I just spent a week... We're the only people from ESPN who aren't...
No, I heard Dari. I heard Dari Noka this morning from the Lexington, Kentucky ESPN affiliate studio.
We are
in Charlotte at ESPN 730.
Rupp Arena.
I think Dari has something to do tonight with the SEC Network Kentucky game.
It's like all day. They got games all day. Okay, good. Well, we're one of the few people, you, me, Dari.
That don't rank at our company.
Producer Dan, that aren't in Phoenix. And you and I were on the NASCAR preseason media tour this week.
We were.
It was like The Shining. We couldn't get out of the hotel. Like, we were in three different rooms. And but talked to Dale Jr., talked to Jeff Gordon, and Hall of Fame induction was last night. And I tell you, it was interesting because a lot of those guys were just talking football because it's that time.
It is that time. And we'll get into our Super Bowl picks after a while. We also, here's what we want from you guys today. As you're driving down the highway or cleaning your gutters or hanging out with your kids and bored and you're listening to us on your cell phone.
Or just lied to your family and told them you're doing all that stuff and you're really just sitting in the car listening.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Call us at, I don't know the number, you tell them the number.
1-888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776.
Anybody can say ESPN. Tell us, we want to hear from you guys about your favorite Super Bowl memories. And another thing that
good and bad.
Yeah, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It might be Tim Crumry's leg bouncing around all over the field when he broke it in half. Maybe. That's one thing I think about when I think about Super Bowl memories.
It was Jack Youngblood, tape of aspirin to it.
Huh? And another thing that I thought might be funny is we're going to get into Marshawn Lynch. I think the guy's brilliant, personally.
He's been the story.
Is it annoying? Sure. But if you're a reporter, it's annoying. But he, without saying a word, except for I'm just here so I don't get fined, has become the story of the Super Bowl. How's that happen?
If you're the guy, whoever it was, the guy, the people, whoever it was that was responsible for deflating footballs,
You love him.
You should buy like 10 Beast Mode hats.
Yes. Although we're told that they sold out of him, right?
Oh, okay. That's what I hear.
So here's what I want. I want you guys to call us and tell us, when you were being interviewed, what was the most uncomfortable interview you've ever had for a job? Because I think that would be funny. And I was going to try to conjure up some hilarious story about me having an uncomfortable interview, but I haven't thought of one yet. So if something you say sparks that in me, then I will share it.
How about the interview to get my job at ESPN?
Well, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
why don't you share that with us?
As a production assistant.
And yes, just to confirm, Eric is in Salt Lake City.
Good to know. Well, let's hope that happens.
My attention deficit issues are massive. Yeah. Carry on.
Y'all get familiar with that. I don't even realize it's happening anymore. No, it was your first job interview was with for an entry-level production assistant job at ESPN with the legendary Al Jaffe, who I think is just retired.
He's been on about 16 SportsCenter commercials.
Yeah, and the deal was it's a sports quiz, and they try to ask you questions about stuff that they assume you don't know about. So I'd come from I'm redneck Southern. There's no Southerners in the company at that point. And I got asked about who was going to win the Vezina Trophy. And I had to ask, what is that? And I said, it must be hockey because I don't know what you're talking about. I said, unless we're talking about Wayne Gretzky or the 80 Olympic team, I'm out. But then, interestingly enough.
What is it?
Talking about the best defenseman, I think. Or
in hockey?
Yeah.
Okay.
You big hockey guy.
Oh, yeah. Man,
no?
Man.
What was that?
The North Trophy.
The North, I don't know. It has a trophy. And hockey. So, fine. Then he says, knowing where I'm from. And this is an NFL thing. He says, tell me about the teams of the AFC West and what do they need to do going into this year. And all of a sudden I realized, hey, I know this. And the reason was because, and this is part of the reason, we're going to talk later about your favorite teams and Super Bowls and all that stuff. Here in North Carolina, where I grew up, everybody was a Redskins fan because that's the only team we got on television, on radio.
Sure.
It's the only team we had. Is it Joe Jr.? Everybody grew up around here as a Redskins fan. But then we also all loved, like, the Chargers. And these teams of the AFC, the Broncos and all, because that's the afternoon game we got.
Well, yeah, that
was
back
Don,
when we were kids, there were three channels,
yeah,
man.
Don
and you watched whatever
NBC,
game was
yeah.
on.
Don Crickey on NBC.
John Madden and Pat Summerall,
A Dan Fouts game on NBC on the West Coast. So I was like, I know the AFC West. But the point is, I messed the interview up so bad that I literally went to the hotel across the street and cried and went, well, never going to work at ESPN. And I hold the record. The deal is you stayed on the list for a year. Like, and then after a year, you rotated off the list, and if you ranked you, how you did your interview. And I hold the record. It's like 11 years and like 3 weeks before they called. I was like, well, I'm never going to work.
11 years?
I had another, or 11 months. 11 months and like 3 weeks.
I was going to say, Bud, that's a long ride
11,
right there.
11 months and
they
3 weeks.
They kept your resume longer than I figured
it
would.
It was almost a year. Like, I think I hold the record. But I got hired, and it worked out. But it was brutal, man. It was like I've never felt, like, worse.
See? There you go. There's a great story about an uncomfortable interview.
There you go.
I'm going to come up with one. I've only interviewed twice ever in my life for a job, so it'll be one of those two, possibly.
So, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break here in a couple minutes, but I wanted to ask you, just off the top of your head, what's the one thing tomorrow that will determine the outcome of the football game?
How well the Seahawks can run the football, to me, because I think they have to take the air out of the ball. Ha, 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 ha. Was that a great joke? Dan, where are you? That's a great joke. Come on. They have to take the air out of the ball. They have to be able to run it. They have to be able to manage the clock. And if they aren't able to do that, I just think the Patriots are going to go crazy. And, you know, the Seahawks secondary, as wonderful as they are, they have Earl Thomas beat up. They have Richard Sherman. He's got that messed up elbow. And now they're saying Cam Chancellor's a little beat up, too.
Yeah.
And Chancellor's vital, man, because Chancellor is who is going to have to manage Gronkowski. And Gronkowski is one of the best players in the league and also will be a major key. But I think it really comes down to how well Lynch performs and is able to perform with that team.
Not with you. I mean, our buddy Terry Blunt that worked with us on the NASCAR side for years, now is the beat writer for ESPN.com. We had him on this show a couple weeks ago. He's the one that first reported Cam Chancellor was got hurt on the next to last play of practice yesterday, tweaked his knee. That's it.
That's a good job out of Terry. Sorry, I didn't know that. I would have gave him his props.
Yeah,
I'm glad you did.
To me, that's the ball game, because to me, the ball game is, you know, he's the guy that's supposed to handle the guy in Gronk. And the question is, can he do that? All right. Jason Seahorn will be joining us on that.
My man, Biscuit.
Shortly. 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. I'm at ESPN McGee. He's at Marty Smith, ESPN, and, of course, at ESPN Radio. And you can call in, and we want you to call in. We're going to talk about our best and worst Super Bowl moments. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Marty, what was your personal favorite Super Bowl moment?
I'll tell you when it was. Remember Terry Porter?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Clyde Drexler, Buck Williams, Kevin Duckworth, Terry Porter.
That's a solid Kevin Duckworth mention.
My boy Duckworth. He was nasty in the paint, son. I'm talking about Terry Porter, the defensive back for the New Orleans Saints.
There you go.
When he picked off Peyton Manning in 2010 and took her to the house and sealed the victory for Sean Payton and Drew Brees and the Saints, that is my favorite Super Bowl memory, and I will tell you why. Because it's the only Super Bowl I've ever attended. I was sitting in a suite with Tony Stewart, the three-time NASCAR champion, and Tony is a die-hard, hardcore. That was a big-time name drop, wasn't it, Danny? You like that? He's a monster Indianapolis Colts fan.
Yes.
He's a Columbus, Indiana guy, grew up 45 minutes from downtown Indy.
He's the Rushville Rockets.
And a buddy of Peyton's, and the air came out of the room when Terry Porter picked off that pass and took it all the way back. But that place went bananas when that happened. And it was really cool to be a part of that and get to see it. And have you ever been to a Super Bowl?
No, I've not.
You've not been to one. That's the only one I've ever been to, and I had beer in my hand, not a pen. I've never worked one.
When it was in Jacksonville, which is the closest really it's been by here, that was kind of a logistical mess. I had a chance, and then ended up, but usually Super Bowl, I'm in Daytona.
Was at Daytona, yeah, but it was in Miami, so we just drove down there.
Right. Well, back in the day, that's how you were always. Most of the Super Bowls of my adult life, I've watched sitting at the Oyster Deck or sitting somewhere in Daytona. So I watched a couple Super Bowls.
Was that a combination of the Ocean Deck and the Oyster Pub?
The Oyster Pub.
Oyster Deck worked.
I sat with Sterling Marlin like for three consecutive Super Bowls.
Coors Light Dodge, let her eat.
That was something. He was driving Kodak. Hey, man. I don't know who's going to win this game. That's how I talk for your NASCAR fans. But look,
there are people out there going, what just happened?
What's your worst? Like, who was your team growing up? I don't even know that.
Well, my team growing up was the Skins.
Like me.
For
a
while. But I got tired. Like, I had a Joe Theismann. I have a picture. You know when you're a kid and how awkward your school pictures are?
No, I don't know anything about
that.
No,
I'm sure you were real put together down in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. I have a picture of myself standing in front of an old oak tree. With my mom bowl cut, but my mom like used some of those scissors. You know those scissors with the orange handles?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has the scissors with the orange handles in your house.
The house.
And my mom just cut my hair straight across. Terrible bangs. My wife was just, Lainey was just busting my chops about it a couple days ago. But I found in going through our family boxes of pictures and whatnot in Granny's attic, this photo of myself in a Joe Theismann jersey. And I thought, wow, I was a Redskins fan. However, I will admit, in the seventh grade or so, sixth or seventh grade, I started to transition over to the Chicago Bears because I was so mesmerized with the Super Bowl shuffle.
Right.
They call me Sweetness because I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance. So I follow the Chicago Bears. And now we live in Charlotte, so I follow the Panthers very closely.
But that's what kind of happened to me. I think I mentioned it earlier. Everybody around here grew up Redskins fans. That's the team we had on TV. The team we had on WBT was the big giant radio station in Charlotte forever, and that was they covered the Redskins. So that's who we liked. But I made the transition to the Panthers. We didn't have a team. That's why nobody was a Falcons fan. I like Steve Barkowski fine, but nobody around here was a Falcons fan. I went through a little bit of a Steelers phase when I was a little kid because they were in the Super Bowl every year. In fact, I was trying to think.
Did your dad like the Steelers? My dad did. I had one of those little fake Letterman jackets with the pleather sleeves.
Yeah.
Steelers.
Well, we were back then, I thought, when I was – the first Super Bowl I really remember was 13, and that was the Steelers and the Cowboys. And I can remember when I was a kid thinking that the Steelers and the Cowboys – like, I thought the deal was the Super Bowl was just always between them. Like, there wasn't – like, my mom grew up thinking that every year the Dodgers and the Yankees played in the World Series. Just how it was. I thought it was just always – plus, I love Terry Bradshaw. I still love Terry Bradshaw. The coolest thing during my brief time at Fox was getting to know Terry. But anyhow, I was a Redskins fan, but I kind of moved past that. But as a result, for years, my worst memory was a Super Bowl 18, the Raiders and the Redskins. And
was that Jim Plunkett?
That was the 38-9. And the Redskins were favored in the game. I've talked to Joe Gibbs about this. Of course, owns NASCAR team. And I'm telling you, I've never been – I swear, I go, what, probably 13? I've never been just soul crushed. But then years later, sitting in a room with a couple of thousand Carolina Panther fans, and when John Casey hooked that kickoff
– oh, son.
And essentially handed the Patriots what they didn't need, which was help in winning the football game. I've never – And I'm not what you would call a hardcore Panthers fan. I'm not a season ticket holder or anything. But I've never been in a room that was just a collective gut punch like that.
I know. That was rough. I remember that game very well. You know what I just thought of? And this is not a bad memory. This is a good one. But it's interesting what moments in the Super Bowl just pop. And one of them was that game, what was it, Giants-Bills, when it was the Whitney year, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it the year
yeah.
Whitney sang the yeah. national anthem and just, it's the greatest rendition of the national anthem all time. There's no debating it. But I remember the orange sweatbands. I mean, excuse me, yellow sweatbands.
Yeah.
Because everybody, you know, I think they even, am I wrong, didn't they wrap the Superdome or something in a yellow ribbon?
It was out in Tampa.
There's something
yeah,
like that.
I remember because I remember when Whitney.
But I remember all the players on the field wore these yellow wristbands
yeah.
because, you know, in honor of our troops overseas. And that really stands out to me, too. I remember that.
What I remember, and the first Gulf War had just started. I mean, just started. And so everybody was on edge anyway. But
yeah.
it was, you know, I got a piece in ESPN the magazine this week where I interviewed the Thunderbirds about all the logistics that go into the flyover tomorrow night.
Oh.
And, you know, one of the moments that keeps coming up was, you know, that moment when the Jets hit at the perfect time when Whitney was done. And it's interesting talking to those guys about the logistics of, you know, I think Blake Shelton maybe is doing national anthem. I don't think it's
no, probably, it's in Dina Menzel.
In Dina Menzel. They were talking to Blake at one point.
Let it go, bud.
But it's the talk. But the pilots, the guy that is in charge of the logistics of it, sitting down with the singer and saying, listen, if they're doing it live, if there's recorded, then it doesn't matter. But if you're doing it live, listen, no runs. You do it exactly like you did in rehearsal because I got six inbound at 450 miles an hour that are coming in from Las Vegas hot. And they got to hit this roof as soon as you hit the last note. So there's no time to start like Maya Rudolph in Saturday Night Live. Welcome back to Marty McGee on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed at ESPN Radio, at Marty Smith ESPN, at ESPN McGee. That's me. 1-888-SAY-ESPN if you want to call and talk to us about your best and worst Super Bowl memories. And joining us on that Fresh Take Hotline is a man who has some Super Bowl memories. Jason Sehorn, what's going on?
Can you throw out any more like plugs there? I mean, I think that
no,
was
yeah,
like,
you get, that,
yeah. You got anything?
Yeah,
get
like
used
three
to
plugs
it.
In a set. I mean, that was impressive how you rolled that in.
I appreciate that. Next time you and I do ESPNU together, I'll ask to do all the promos.
Jason, that's called.
You do all the promos for us. Awesome.
Yeah.
Memories Super Bowl. I'm not sure if I hold on to those very well. when you get it handed to you like we did, just kind of let those go. And I tend to remember and focus on the NFC Championship game the week before, as that was far more entertaining for us than that beatdown we took by the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Jason, there's always the ridiculous level of hype. How much of that hype actually penetrates the sanctum of the team in terms of it being a distraction?
Almost none. I would say there are distractions. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Deflategate has taken a little bit of the attention off of the Patriots' preparation because they've had to, you know, think about that and ask questions about it. But as far as the actual hype of the game and all the outside surrounding influences / you know, opinions, shows, they don't affect the players. You don't watch much TV during those 2 weeks. You just try to separate yourself and just focus on football because there's so much, and you realize that, and that if you do get caught up into it, it can. So I think, you know, in this thing we call the 21st century with, you know, technology being at the forefront, coaches and everybody are pretty well aware of that, and they educate their players on, hey, that's if you don't pick up a newspaper or turn on a TV for a couple weeks.
Jason Sehorn joining us on Marty McGee on ESPN Radio. And Sehorn, what's your take on the other story, not Deflategate, but Marshawn Lynch and talking but not really talking? What's your take on that as a player and also as a media guy?
As a media guy, I think that we are doing ourselves an injustice by even why are they putting a camera on him? Why are you if you're truly a media person and your job is to get information about the Super Bowl, why are you wasting your time talking to him? You know he does not like to talk to media. You know his personality. When he was in Buffalo, they didn't seem to care that he didn't talk to media. Now he's in Seattle playing for Super Bowl, and they're like, oh, you have to talk to media. Well, why is the media there? Why are you wasting your valuable time when you could be talking to somebody who's going to actually give you information on this game that you can write a story on or do a piece on? I know for myself, if I have to go on air and talk about a subject matter, it really comes in handy if I have firsthand knowledge from a player in that game. So I look at the people filming him and wasting their time on him as perpetuating the dog and pony show that it is. You don't want to talk to media. Don't make it, who cares? Go talk to somebody who wants to talk. If he chooses not to speak and he wants to repeat the same thing 26 times, you're going to really tell me that it's productive for you to film him saying it 26 times? That's what I needed to hear about? No. Go do a job and quit wasting your time on him. It'll go away. He clearly doesn't want to be annoyed or bothered by the press. And if as a member of the press, I don't want to deal with people like that.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Somebody, yeah, but I don't want to waste my time talking to somebody who doesn't want to talk. You know what I mean? Let alone waste film. So that's my take.
Well, we both of us here agree with you 1,000%.
Yep.
Somehow he's managed to manipulate the system and be the most talked about individual in the biggest spectacle in sports of the year. And how the hell he did that, I have no idea. But moving forward to someone who has had to talk a lot, Jason, I've said often that I look at Jimmy Johnson's career in NASCAR and Tom Brady's career in the NFL as having many parallels because of the way they carry themselves, of the systems they were put in to succeed that really allowed them to show the world their God-given talent. You know Jimmy very well. You've studied Tom Brady his whole career. What similarities do you see there between them?
I think it's more of a competitive nature. When you think about it, the Patriots are now playing for their sixth Super Bowl in about the last 14 years. That's pretty impressive. I mean, they didn't win them all, but they've been there. And JJ's the same way. He hasn't won every one, but he's won six. And he's been in a handful of others. He's come in second a couple times. I mean, the guy's always there. So you look at that as more of a competitive nature to find a way to win. You're not always going to have your best day, but that doesn't mean you can't succeed. That doesn't mean you can't compete. When I look at the Patriots, even today, and what I see with Tom Brady is a guy who works with what he has. And there's teams out there with weapons that put fear into defensive backs. So you watch film all week long wondering how we're going to stop this. With New England, I'm not so sure there's any single person outside of Gronkowski that you're like, oh, we have to stop this or we lose. But yet they still score points and win. They mm-hmm. find a way. And I think most of that goes to Belichick and his ability to coach and motivate and Brady and his ability to make the most of what he has. And I go back to the 1 year they gave him a uber-talented receiver, Randy Moss. What did he do? He set the record for touchdowns this season. Randy Moss set the touchdown for receiving touchdowns this season. So you give him weapons, he's going to make something happen. You don't, he's still going to find a way to make it happen. So, and JJ's the same way. He's going to find a way to be there every year at the end, and that's just ability.
You're listening to Marty McGee on ESPN Radio. He's Marty Smith. I'm Ryan McGee. We have Jason Sehorn, of course, former Giants and Rams safety on, and he's on the Subway Fresh Tech Hotline. I'm going to do this just for you, Sehorn. At Subway, experience the breakthrough taste of new grilled chicken strips. Subway, eat fresh. Sehorn, you mentioned that Super Bowl, the one you played in, didn't go that well.
No, mentioned it. I just had to at least acknowledge that you talked about it.
That's fair enough. But do you think about it? I mean, is that one of those things that does that game come up? Are you riding down the road and thinking, man, if I could have the first half of that game back, or if I could have that weekend back, is that something that sticks with you forever, or is it just a bad day at the office that day?
Hell no, that doesn't stick with me. It was 34-7. 34-7 doesn't stick with you. If we lost the way the Tennessee Titans lost to the Rams
right,
on the 1 yard line,
right.
That would stick with me for the rest of my life. You would continue to think about one play could have made the difference in that game between a win and a loss. 34-7? I'm looking at the whole game plan. I'm looking from, like, start to finish and thinking, well, hell, I don't know what we could have done differently. That defense was so phenomenal. They had 249 yards of total offense, but they had 34 points. Their defense was just that good. There's two teams that I can recall from my memory that have single-handedly taken their team to a Super Bowl victory, and it was the 85 Bears and that team for the Ravens. Their defense was just – it was that good that it didn't matter what the quarterback did or the receivers. Or you look back at the Bears' offense, and outside of Walter Payton, who didn't even score a touchdown in the game. They went to William Perry. They didn't have great receivers, tight end. McMahon was a good quarterback, not great. Same thing with Baltimore. But, man, those defenses. And that's why I think when I look at this Seattle team, that I say to myself, as talent goes, they have everything. They have receivers that can threaten you. They've got a running back that's a stud, big offensive line, and a defense that's phenomenal. I mean, 2 years in a row, they've led in points and yards. That's hard to do, in keeping your guys intact. So I don't look back at that game and find anything where I say, whew, wow, we were just a play away. We're like 4 quarters away, maybe three.
Right now, I think the line is one, right? Aren't the Patriots a one-point favorite right now?
Yeah.
So it's basically a push. It's basically a push. Brady wins this thing, Jason. Where does he rank all time among the greatest players list?
I think you put him up there with Montana. You know, just as, you know, as far as quarterbacks go. Because, see, there's quarterbacks with numbers. Like Manning and Favre have all the numbers. But they don't have all the rings. They have one. And they both, I think they both have a loss as well. Well, Manning's got two losses. Or Brady, I mean, he would have 4 wins and 2 losses. He won the Super Bowl 6 times. Pretty impressive. Because even Montana didn't do that. So I don't know if, you know, when you think about it as far as titles and, you know, leadership and, you know, when you go back and talk about the greatest, if there's going to be somebody that would be in that conversation that has 4 wins and 2 losses, like 6 Super Bowl trips, if he got the 4 wins. Now, 3 losses is like, okay, now you're – this is not a disparaging remark, but now you're getting to Jim Kelly territory. I mean, you keep getting there, but you haven't won in a while. So what's the problem? But, I mean, even that splitting hairs, man, this is his 6th trip. I would love to be Jim Kelly and say I went to 4 Super Bowls. So, but he's up there at the top. And what is more impressive is when I look at Montana's career, I mean, he had Jerry Rice. Arguably
dude,
one of the top 5 receivers ever played the game. When I look at Brady's career, let's just go through the receivers that he's had to throw to and the weapons and running backs. And it's a revolving door in New England on offense outside of Tom Brady.
You're right, Jason. Hey, listen, we're out of time, and I'm out of sponsor reads. So we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks. That sound
That's
good?
Okay. Subway and Progressive appreciate you.
They appreciate you now.
Welcome back to Marty McGee on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, you know, this show started as a podcast.
Indeed. It's still a podcast, by the way.
Yeah, and I rankled some people when I went off one day.
That's
about
an understatement.
How I didn't like Garth Brooks.
You ticked some people off. Well, we had a George Strait-Garth Brooks debate.
Yeah, and I'm a George Strait guy.
So, I mean, how couldn't you be? But if you're not, then you need to move on to Sochi or somewhere.
When I was coming...
we'll see you later.
When I was coming along, you had to pick one or the other. All guests... Garth Brooks will not be a guest. They all guests via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, 1-800-Flowers.com, Twitter feed, at ESPN Radio. You can call in. We want you to call in. We were talking about our favorite and our nightmare Super Bowl memories. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Hey, call us. Hey, we want to hear your stories.
Hey, Marty.
We have some breaking news.
Hang on. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Huh.
Marshawn Lynch finally speaks in an exclusive interview at YouTube.com/Progressive, which we've got some Marshawn coming up. But what do you have, son?
We have some breaking news out of Gilbert, West Virginia. Direct descendants of the Hatfields and the McCoys are producing legal moonshine.
Yep.
The start of a new legacy for the families made famous for their 19th century feud. The drink's name is the Drink of the Devil, and it's made in a licensed distillery in southern West Virginia. I cannot believe this. The Hatfields and McCoys, after 3 centuries, have mended fences.
This
that ain't
wrong.
Right. That's not
this
right.
This is wrong. I don't feel
well,
good about that.
I feel like we ought to at least just play them a quick.
Where's my bell?
Your bell's not here.
Oh, there it is.
There's your bell.
Well,
your bell's across the desk.
Well, they don't deserve a bell because that's not – I got a problem with that. Do you remember that?
That's a little, that'd be like Garth Brooks and George Strait playing a show together.
Do you remember that deal or us having Florida Georgia Line on our show? Hey, did you remember that – History Channel did a miniseries with Bill Paxton a few years ago about to have.
I got a great Bill Paxton story.
Remember that? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
If you watch that, then you know it's a long walk to get to where you're in business together.
Let me tell you, I have a great Bill Paxton story. So he was
from Weird Science.
He was Virgil Earp.
I'm gonna butter your muffin.
Or no, he was Morgan Earp.
Morgan Earp.
Bill Paxton was Morgan Earp in my favorite movie of all time, Tombstone. We can't get into favorite movies today because that will blow up the lines.
Yeah.
That's another show for another time. But I'm still going to tell you my Bill Paxton story.
Please.
So a couple years ago, Laney and I went to the Kentucky Derby.
That's his wife.
With some of our friends. And afterwards, there was a, or maybe it was the night before or something, there was a Maxim party.
Well, the magazine.
The Maxim magazine, yes. Okay. So we go to this Maxim, I don't know how we even were going to it, but we did. We go to this Maxim party. And I walk
Please
into the...
Please tell me that you met Morgan Earp.
Oh, hold on, man. Hold on, I'm getting there. I did. So
Maxim party.
Laney and I, like, take a selfie in the Maxim, you know, the red carpet, which is now empty because, obviously, it's us. And so we take a selfie in there like we're important for a minute. And then we walk into the bar. And Laney and her girlfriends go off somewhere, and I walk over to the bar. And I'm like, I need some Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
So I walk over to the bar, and who's standing there? But Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton.
And I look at Bill Paxton, and Bill Paxton looks at me, and he goes, you need a shot? I said, you're Morgan Earp. Yes, by God, I need a shot.
But be careful. Be careful. I remember taking a shot in a movie and getting shot in the back.
That's the greatest movie of all time. It's not even close, man.
Well, he was Chet in Weird Science, and if you're old like me, then you remember that movie. And the star of that movie was Anthony Michael Hall. And at the Homestead NASCAR finale a few years ago, we stayed at the Marriott downtown in Miami. And I was getting coffee there in the lobby, and I look up.
No.
AMH is standing there.
Oh, y'all are on those kind of terms. What did you say? Hey, AMH.
I call him that.
What's up?
But he's standing there, and he looks at me, and I look to him, and I just kind of go, okay. that's all I said, because he don't want people to realize. He had a hit show on TV then also. I go, hey, and he looked at me, and I pulled a line from 16 Candles. I pulled this gum out of my pocket. I go, fresh breath, prior to my life. And he goes, that's a good one. I walked out the door, and I was like, so you had.
Try it again.
You had a shot with Bill Paxton.
Yes,
and
I did.
And I showed
Kentucky
a pack
Derby.
Of gum. I showed a pack of gum to Anthony Michael Hall.
And mint juleps and cold bourbon.
Hey, you know, we just talked longer. We just talked much longer than Marshawn Lynch ever has. Been an interesting week. And we want to spend a little time now just reflecting back. And just let's take a moment and walk through the
insight. Keen insight on what to expect in the Super Bowl.
The pros of this week of Marshawn Lynch.
I'm finna sit here with my mouth closed and look at you. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Shout out my teammates. Shout out Oakland, California. Come to them inner cities and come and holler at me then.
I give him some props on shouting out Oakland.
Shout out Oakland, California.
See, that's awesome.
Shout out Travis Rest, South Carolina.
I'm all in when you shout out your home. Isn't he from Oakland, right?
Shout out
Rockefeller. I'll give him that all day long.
That's right.
Shout out my teammates.
See, look, he's a team guy. He doesn't want the spotlight. He's shouting out his teammates, his buddies in Oakland, kids in the inner city.
Come to them inner cities and come and holler at me then.
See, there you go.
What was the first one?
I forget.
Shout out Oakland, California.
No, he said, I'm going to sit here with my mouth shut the whole time.
I'm going to sit here with my mouth closed and look at you.
My friend Ivan Mazel, of course, senior writer at ESPN.com. Great,
who I met at the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, great.
Out there, maybe national championship.
Just a great guy. And you know, all he does is he wins the Football Writers Association Writer of the Year every year. And Ivan wrote a story in 2006, 9 years ago, and used one of the greatest lines to describe Marshawn Lynch, and you could absolutely apply it to this week. And the line was, Marshawn Lynch is 5 yards and a cone of silence. But he was like this in college. And he was very open to Ivan way back then about, you know, why he thinks interviews are a little bit of a waste of time. And Jeff Tedford, the coach at Cal then, you know, and first of all, you know he's a smart guy because he played at Cal Berkeley. They're not letting any dummies in there.
But I'll tell you what, I do need to mention this. We'd be remiss, I think, if we didn't mention this. This story is fantastic. So this is from the Baltimore Sun, I think. What paper is this? I want to make sure I get this right for whomever wrote it. BaltimoreRavens.com staff writer. Okay, this is from Ryan Mink, who writes for the BaltimoreRavens.com.
It's a great first name.
It is. Basically, here's the deal. Marshawn Lynch and Justin Forsett, who had a breakthrough year for the Baltimore Ravens this year at running back,
right,
are such close friends that Lynch would fake exhaustion in games at Cal so that Forsett could get reps in college.
tired.
Think about that.
I'm tired, man. Put him in.
In a world, you look, I know he's been beaten up, and I do think it's ridiculous how he's approached the media, but that's pretty selfless.
Yeah.
When you will give a guy who really is your competition, and when you're that age and you still, because when you're that age, it's all about, you ain't taking my position. You're not going to touch what I got. And when that's amazing to me.
Well, everyone that knows him, engages with him on a regular basis. You know, I know he was on Mike and Mike before. I heard him one morning. It was one of the few times there was a lengthy interview. And, you know, what drives you a little bit crazy is the standard model. The standard model says if you're smart, if you got a great personality, and if you're, you know, ridiculously talented on the football field, then your earning potential is through the roof if you're willing to play the game. And I think that's part of why this drives people crazy is he didn't care. He doesn't care about those things. Because if he did, he'd be doing the dog and pony show. He'd be on TV commercials like everybody else.
And in this world, there's lots to be said for that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's about the dog and pony show.
Yeah.
And when you find someone who's just completely disinterested, it's interesting how we react that we're miffed by it. And I know one reason that we have the opinion that we have is because we're writers. We're TV talking heads, and we like when people talk to us and give us things on which to expound. But how about that? Do you like that grammatically correct sentence?
Well, I like how
your eyebrows just raised.
I like how you punched the word. That's why you said expound.
Yeah, that definitely deserves a bell. I don't know. It's interesting psychology because, again, I've said this twice now, but I'm fascinated by how you can say nothing, be defiant, not care, and end up with us talking about you on national radio and everyone else has on television, radio, writing, internet for, 10 days now, whatever it is?
What's amazing is that shot, and we weren't there. You and I were here in Charlotte at NASCAR Media Tour, but that shot of, first of all, it was nuts having that media day in that basketball
Good
ring.
Gracious.
That was crazy. But there was a shot, I think we had it, or it was on the NFL Network, and it was this high-angle shot of the crowd around Lynch as he came in and sat down. And, yeah, that's the question Jason Sehorn just asked, which is, listen to a lot of people media
what do you
day,
think
that
the
was the
answer
only day
is?
They were going to ask.
What do you think the answer is? Like, I wonder if it is – do we got to go?
No, you're good.
I wonder if it is that those reporters are praying that they're the person that gets the bite.
Yeah.
You know, you wonder what that is. Or maybe that's what their boss is. I mean, it's probably so much bigger than the reporters themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe their editors wanted that. Maybe their producers wanted that.
You got to try. I mean, listen, somebody has to be there because the one time that he finds. Well, like you
they don't have to.
But, yeah, but the one time, the other day, imagine if everybody said, well, fine, we're not going to show up.
And
that's the one day he gave his speech about why I don't do this.
Right. That, and you miss it, you're in deep trouble.
Somebody has to be there. Someone has to be there. I don't know who it is. All right.
And I were there, which one of us would have drawn that straw? I would love to. I'll take that.
Oh,
spot.
Yeah. No, they just sent you.
Go ahead. Pay bills.
They would have sent you. They said, hey, man, if he'll ask those questions he asked Ohio State at College Football Media Day, he'll
10-4.
He'll stand there and take it from Mark.
Me and Cardale. Cardale!
Hey, listen, man. I spent the early part of my career trying to get Bill Elliott to talk. I'm used to standing there staring at somebody waiting on them to say something. So, Marshawn Lynch. We were talking about Marshawn Lynch. I could use a little Marshawn Lynch right now. Come on, Danny.
I thought you were just going to sit there and be quiet for a minute.
You got to be ready to fire that off. So I may mention Bill Elliott, right? And for folks that don't know, and for the general audience, he's been retired a while. Bill Elliott was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame just last night, Friday night here in Charlotte, where we are. You and I were there. And his son, Chase, is coming along now, and he's as polished as there can be, and he's a great kid and all that. Bill Elliott was the worst driver in the garage to deal with forever. And the reason was because he didn't want to talk. And another guy that was like that was Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Yeah, Dale was a tough one. I can remember the first time that I wanted to talk to him. And I was in Richmond, Virginia at Richmond International Raceway. And I was 21 years old, straight out of college. And he was the intimidator.
Right.
And everybody knew it. And he wore the whole black car and the whole thing. And I just thought, I'm going to walk up and interview Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
Wrong. And he walked through there, and he had we love him now, he's our boy J.R. Rhodes, that now works for Dale Earnhardt Jr. But J.R. basically put the Heisman on me and shoved me out of the way, and there's no time for a 21-year-old snot-nosed kid from Lynchburg, Virginia. We don't have time for that. And Dale, didn't, I mean, he was just disinterested. And oddly enough, it's very similar because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a similar dynamic.
But what changed was that the reason that Bill Elliott and Dale Earnhardt didn't want to talk to the media earlier in their careers is they couldn't find the point. Like, they didn't they didn't have a lot of confidence in their ability to talk, honestly. That was part of Dale Earnhardt's problem. He didn't want to come off as stupid. Bill Elliott was the same way. And then they got burned by writers earlier in their career, like we know happened to Marshawn Lynch. But then in the last part of their career, what they both realized was to play ball, because it wasn't just a, I don't want to be remembered for being a jerk thing. It was a, hey, wait, I can make a lot of money. And so in the case of Dale Earnhardt in particular, you know, he went off and got coaches and, you know, got coached up by agents and agencies and how to deal with the media. In the case of Bill Elliott, now he's a Hall of Famer, and he talked more last night during his induction speech. No lie, he talked more last night than all the interviews I did with him over the course of 20 years added up. But the reason was because now he realized this kind of it. I mean, this is the end. This is the chance for me to say something. And what I've heard also is, will Marshawn Lynch look back one day and go, man, I wish when I, at the height of my powers, you know, one day the camera's going to go away. One day the microphone's going to go away. One day the attention's going to go away.
I don't think he'll care. I think he cares. That's one guy
exactly
that will
right.
care. Because if you think about the difference between Bill Elliott and Dale Earnhardt, it's very fundamental. Bill Elliott and Dale Earnhardt had to have corporate American dollars to do what they do. And Marshawn Lynch just has to run people over. So I do think I see what you're saying, but I don't know that it's parallel in terms of the long-term impact.
I'm with you. I agree with you. This was someone I heard saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One day he look back and go, he won't care when we've all vanished.
Especially if he wins tomorrow.
Yeah.
If he wins tomorrow and has two in a row and just runs people over the way he has and has these signature moments on the field, that's what people are going to, you know, yes, they'll discuss in his 30 for 30 in 10 years, his 30 for 200 or whatever number movie that's going to be. Yeah, they'll talk about the fact that he didn't talk, but they'll also show the footage of him just plowing Arizona Cardinals left and right.
He's Marty Smith. I'm Ryan McGee. This is Marty McGee on ESPN Radio, and we have some callers. Jonathan from Colorado.
What?
And Jonathan Colorado.
All right, Johnny.
He asked the question about asking questions that I think everyone should be asking. Jonathan, what you got?
What's up, everyone? My name's Jonathan, Colorado Loveland, and I am a lover of football, and I'm just kind of sick and tired of all this drama that's around football right now. Like, the Super Bowl is tomorrow, and all these, I don't even know if they're real football fans, all they care about is deflated footballs and a guy not talking at an interview. Like, who gives a crap if a guy talks or not at an interview? I want to hear about the game tomorrow. That's actually what I want to hear about. That's why I watch football, because I want to hear what you guys have to say about the game, what you think. I want to, the comparisons, the defenses, the offense, all this different stuff, but instead we're talking about deflated footballs and a guy who doesn't talk. It's like, who gives a crap, really?
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But a whole lot of people.
Thing. To his point, though, he talks about real football fans. When it comes to the Super Bowl, tomorrow I will be at a party, and I know that of the 100 people that are there, I might be one of about 10 that actually knows what's going on in the game, because this is the time they all show up. And this is the time they pay attention. Media Day is a perfect example. Guy walking around naked with a barrel on. And back when we were kids, downtown Julie Brown from MTV and BBC and all these people showing up, they don't know a thing of football, and they don't care. The kid asking Bill Belichick what his favorite stuffed animal was. This is the week all that happens. And I think this is the week that, as a football fan, it's weird because it's the biggest game, but you have to kind of suck it up and get through all the other stuff to actually get to the football game.
Which is why guys like Jonathan take offense to it.
Yeah.
Because if you're a purist and you're in it for the actual game and for the purity of competition and deciding, and especially this time, because this shapes up on paper to be just a tremendous game. And last year, I've never been more disappointed in a Super Bowl than I was 1 year ago.
Yeah. Everybody.
I mean, it was terrible. And this game, I have every reason to believe will live up to the hype. I think it's going to be a last drive, maybe have to go for two to win it type of thing. And I don't know. I can see Jonathan's point to a degree, but it's pretty naive to think that people don't enjoy the drama that surrounds deflated footballs and a guy not talking.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, I get that this is the time of year where And we get this from race fans. When something happens
all the time,
or when an event kind of transcends racing, whether it's the Daytona 500 or whether it's Tony Stewart's tragedy with Kevin Ward Jr. last fall, when those things happen and the outside world floods in, that's the reaction you get, which is, man, this is
circle
the
wagons.
You're kind of stepping in on what we do for a living, and for hardcore football fans, that's part of it. Listen, when the parties start, everybody's going to be talking about the commercials, which that's a whole other conversation about Super Bowl commercials. Listen, we got to pay your bills, right? Welcome back to Marty McGee on ESPN Radio. And we're all about modern country music here. Presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed, at ESPN Radio, at ESPN McGee, that's me, Ryan McGee, at Marty Smith ESPN, that's him, Marty Smith. And you can call us, and people are, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Radio, Marty, is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Now,
test drive snapshot. Even if you have insurance with another company, see how much you can save before you switch. Kay from Alabama has called in. And she is a Patriots fan, Marty, who loves her some Marshawn Lynch.
Love it. Tell us about it, Kay.
Well, I don't love him tomorrow, but I love him every other day. But now I have a multi-part comment. First of all, whichever one of y'all commented about the little girl asking Bill Belichick about his stuffed animals, that's Gerard Mayo's daughter, so you're risking inflaming the entire Patriot nation.
My point was, you get questions you don't normally get. It's a weird week. That's not happening in week four.
Okay, but the only point is, or the main point is, that anybody older than her that asks questions like that is the one that comes off looking dumb. And everybody who's ever been interviewed has been quoted wrong. What sounds okay coming out of your mouth usually looks different in print. Just like this week when Brandon Browner was saying he'd be telling his teammates now to go after his old teammates. It sounded funny when he said it in an interview, but when you read it in print, it sounds vicious. And I just wish people would back off and leave Marshawn alone. And that being said, I hope the Patriots walk all over him tomorrow.
There you go.
I like Kay's passion.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with everything she said.
Well, it depends on who's writing it.
I think she's lumping everyone who has a pen together, and I think that's remiss at best. But I do appreciate her passion and the premise of her thought.
But the danger is, and maybe she's trying to get at what Marshawn Lynch is trying to get at, or any of the athletes that don't want to deal, which is, or politicians, whoever, don't want to deal, which is, yeah, if it's put in the hands of the wrong person, you can do about whatever you want within the quotes if you take it out of context. But, you know, hopefully when you reach a certain level, you're not doing that because you shouldn't be at that level if you're doing it. Angelo from right here in North Carolina wants to talk about Marshawn Lynch.
How we doing, fellas?
Good,
great.
Buddy.
How are you, bud?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, my comment is, you know, one, I don't have a problem with the NFL, you know, fining Marshawn Lynch if he doesn't speak, especially if it's a part of his contract or every player's contract. I get that. At the same time, I don't have a problem with him handling, you know, this situation the way he has, basically following, you know, the spirit of the law, but or the letter of the law, but not the spirit. Now, my problem comes into play when you have the commissioner or, you know, especially in this year of scandal, who is not forced to talk to the media, you know, all the time, or referees who make horrible calls and they're not required to talk to the media. So if you're going to do it and have a rule like that, make it fair, make it consistent for everyone. And then I don't think anybody would have a problem with it.
Martin?
Well, I don't disagree. If he adheres to the contract and he adheres to what is expected of him from the league, I guess by the letter of the law, then everything else from our perspective is our opinion on what he should do. And that's an opinion, and everybody has one. And, you know, we've stated how we feel about it. He's at liberty to say whatever he wants or not say whatever he wants as long as he shows. And we don't have to like it, but that means he's living up to what the league, I guess, demands in print.
Jacob, in the great state of what my granddad called Missouri, what you got about Marshawn?
Yes, sir. I actually have a different view than most people on this just because I work with juvenile offenders, and I see them – inspired by play like Marshawn Lynch's where he goes into beast mode. But I remember years ago when Jason Witten was doing the same thing and Jeremy Shockey was running over people too. They didn't then react like this. And they sure didn't grab their crotch as they went over the goal line. And I think that the league not throwing a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct or that not even being a part of the rule should really be looked at as well, because that's taunting another team. And I find it hard to understand how he expects to be a role model to Oakland whenever he's sending mixed messages.
That's an interesting take. And somebody that really is kind of, I guess, would you say on the front lines of what kids are thinking?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the crotch grab thing is all about. I don't know why he does it. I don't know the story behind it. But, yeah, that's it. That's really all I got to say about that.
Hey, the next caller is Linda. And
not my speed. Not something I'm into.
All producer Dan, or Dr. Dan, the producer man, put here about Linda is, in parentheses, is fired up in Montana.
I am. I am from Montana, big sky country. Hey, guys, I'm an avid football fan. I am a Dallas fan from the get-go. I will be going with Seahawks because I am from Seattle. But you know this Marshawn Lynch crap. I don't care. I don't watch a football game to see what one individual has to say after the game. I am there to watch the whole picture. And as far as him being a role model, there's others out there that are role models. So I don't understand the deal. Like I said, I watch the football game as a whole picture, not for one individual. And what he has to say before or after the game is not going to change my views or my opinions or the way I feel about a football team or the game.
I appreciate it. That's good. I mean, look, role model is a subjective comment, and everyone has a different definition of what a role model is. You know, the crotch grab, nah, I don't need my kids seeing that. But the selfless approach that he has to being a teammate and the way he approaches the game itself, I'm fine with that. In fact, to me, that is something that kids can look at because he is maximizing his potential as a player and as a teammate. Now, I don't know. I'm a member of the media. Of course I would love for him to talk, but if the league doesn't demand that he answers the questions in some sort of method that they consider suffices, then just, I don't care. I just don't care.
Hey, you know what? You know what I wondered about this? The greater forces that are in play here. And Andrea from California is on the line, and she says that she is a sports astrologist. Is that right, Andrea?
Yeah, sports astrologer. That's correct.
Well, tell us what you see, what you read that will give us some insight.
What's Marshawn's cosmic issue?
Well, here's the thing. He's born April 22nd, 1986, Oakland, California, and he's a Taurus. And Taurus can be stubborn and kind of stuck in a rut and very determined. But the thing is, he doesn't have to talk to the media. You know, that's not his job. His job is to play football. So while it might be nice and engaging if he did, you know, that's really not his job description because, you know, he's a Taurus. He can be kind of stuck in a rut, a little bullheaded. But he kept on saying, you know, I'm here so I don't get fined. And the media, frankly, they should have taken the hint because really what we care about is how he is on the field. He also does a lot of great work, as you probably know, for charity. I happen to live in Berkeley. He's in Oakland, from Oakland. And he has Mars in Capricorn. He's going to get the job done, so I'd rather have him be a man of few words and play really well on the football field than be really engaging and fun and not put his money where his mouth is.
Now, Andrea, were you at Media Day?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. I think I'm familiar with your work. I just was curious if you had gotten a personal kind of one-on-one vibe from Marshawn when you were around him.
Well, you know, again, April 22, early degree Taurus, if you just look at his chart, you just can see, you know, as a sports astrologer, you can just see that very focused, persistent, enduring, consistent energy. He will not be moved. You know that saying?
Andrea,
yeah.
What is Tom Brady's sports astrology?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you. You made my day. He's a Leo.
So, of course, you know, he wants to be the life of the party, Libra rising. He's a pretty boy, you know, very engaging, sociable, self-confident, radiant. He can't wait to talk, even though he's been talking and it's been somewhat confusing. And, you know, Mercury's retrograde, so it's kind of hard with communication to be really clearly understood. But he is having a transit, an aspect in his forecast that has to do with deception. So I don't really trust what he's saying, even when he's saying it. So that's something to take under advisement. But by the same token, being a Leo, it's a fire sign. He's going to be very playful and creative and dramatic. You know, he's going to run that kind of energy, which is kind of the polar opposite of Marshawn Lynch. But I like what Lynch said. He goes, you know, I come home to my family, and that's what matters. You know, I come home to people I care about. And, you know, he just he was wise beyond his years.
One more. Bill Belichick.
Four planets in Aries. Glad you asked. And, you know, that is very impulsive and a little foolhardy, aggressive, belligerent, overpowering. Capricorn moon, curious Billy Bean, the GM of the Oakland A's, is in Aries with the Capricorn moon, and he'd sort of trade his own mother if he'd, you know, make a good deal. So, you know, Aries, it's the right man for the job. It is a fire sign, but it can be very combative and temperamental also.
Andrea, I got to tell you, you've made our day.
I was going to ask her. I know we got to go. Yeah. So thank you for calling, Andrea. We really appreciate the astrological insight.
We're on every other Saturday, so feel free to call in again.
You come right on. Yeah, we'll discuss all manner of people. I wonder what kind of arm Billy Bean's mom has.
Well, thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Andrea.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
Get me some chicken
pair
fried.
Pair of jeans that fit just right.
Welcome back to Marty and McGee on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests, Jason Seahorn joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, 1-800-Flowers.com, Twitter feed at ESPN Radio. And we've had a lot of good callers at 1-888-SAY-ESPN.
I think it's presented by 1-800-MISS-CLEO.
Andrea took us into the stars.
She is going to be a regular contributor.
No, we got her information. I was like, this has to happen. She'll be back because I want to get her take on basically everything.
I mean, she just called out Tom Brady's believability.
I think she did.
Or trustworthiness, as it were.
I wanted to ask her if...
Her about Richard Sherman. I want to ask her
I wanted to ask her if having four planets inside your constellation would make the air god of the football.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Kyle from Indianapolis, what you got, buddy?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I don't mind Marshawn Lynch not talking to the media. I think this is like a problem with the NFL. They want this 24-hour access, and not every player is, you know, at ease or is in their best light in front of a microphone right there. I think, like, with corporations, companies, they're spokespeople. Like, yes, let's put Tom Brady up there. Let's put Russell Wilson. Let's put Richard Sherman. But have, like, captain of this. So us as consumers, we're actually getting the people that want to give us insight, that want to give us their story, and not this hoopla about I'm here not to get fined. It's like that doesn't do anything for me as a listener of the NFL.
Well, I agree. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and – again, I mean, I feel like we're beating this thing to death at this point, but I will say this. I don't want to hear him give me stock answers that aren't good. And we hear that a lot from athletes. It's the same old mess. It's, man, I love my teammates, and man, we're great, and our game plan's awesome, and man, we have great coaches. I don't care, man. I don't want stock. I want honest analysis, and I want some passion. And, yes, again, I would love to have Marshawn Lynch's insight because I'm sure that it would be valuable if indeed he would disseminate it to us. Oh, we just heard from Andrea on the Twitter. That's fantastic.
That's fantastic. I don't know if I want to hear her read on me.
No, I need to read this tweet.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thanks for the opportunity to share my sports astrology. I look forward to being a future planetary service.
She did not say that.
I swear, that's exactly what it says.
I'm telling you, every time, the whole time she was talking, all I could hear like in the background was like wind chimes and like planet, like you get went to planetarium when you were a kid, like on a field trip, like cosmos music.
Yeah, where they put the light, they'd like take the lights and bounce them all around around the walls.
And shockingly, she said she lived in Berkeley. The you know, we were talking about media day. To me, this is kind of the double-edged sword of media day, which is everybody gets tired of the same thing week in and week out. Okay, so then at media day, and you did a phenomenal job with this at the college football playoff championship media day.
Which I made Cardale Jones throw me a pass.
But that's just it. It's asking for something different, because at this point, these guys showed up for training camp in August.
Mm-hmm.
They've been asked every question you could possibly ask. So on one hand, you're tired of hearing the same answers. But on the other hand, you hear from folks that say, well, I'm a football fan. I want you to ask them about the cover three. I don't want to talk about who their favorite stuffed animal is.
But that's a real small percentage of people that care.
Yeah.
It just is. I'm sorry. The vast majority. The vast majority. Right.
Yeah.
It's a very small percentage of people that care about how they're going to throw it down the seam.
But
to Rob
Gronkowski. Yeah, week nine against the Jets. That's the time to ask that. So it's an interesting – and I get this all the time about – we talk about this with NASCAR drivers, which is on one hand you want them to be, you know, all American dirt track, you know, and cussing and fighting. But then as soon as there's a fight –
they get ripped.
Man, you're making us look like a bunch of rednecks. Well, what do you want? And I feel like that applies to everybody. Baseball players talk about this all the time. Baseball players are the worst to interview because all the answers are the same. It's Nuka Lush getting the lesson from Crash
Davis. That's what I just said. Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. I don't want a stock answer that my son, who's 9-year-old, could tell you.
And then when they step out and say something, it's like, well, come on, man. There's kids watching.
Right. Hey, so let me tell you real quick about that pass Cardale Jones threw me.
Yeah?
So – he throws me the pass, and I don't even know that I'm on camera at this point, and I catch it. And then they go over to Joe Tessitore in the panel. I think it's Tebow.
Right.
But I hear Mac Brown say, Marty's got to tuck that football away.
Yeah. That's just instinct.
That's instinct.
All right, so let's talk about – we got a little more than 2 minutes. Tell me what's going to happen tomorrow night when the game's over with and we hit the whatever – show NBC's put on after that.
I have gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth about this because, as I said a few moments ago, I think this is going to be one of the better Super Bowls ever. I think it's going to be slobber knocker, hit you in the mouth Super Bowl. And I think Pete Carroll is tremendous. I know Belichick is tremendous. I had the Seahawks for most of the last couple weeks. But I just think that Brady's going to win it. I think that the Patriots are going to find a way. I think LeGarrette Blount is going to be a major contributor in this game. They're going to be able to establish the run a little bit, and that's going to open up the pass for the other, for the players on the perimeter. And I just I got Patriots by 3. I got Patriots by a field goal, maybe 27-24.
One of two things is going to happen. If the Patriots win, Tom Brady has a very easy argument, I think, for maybe greatest of all time. I think it's him and Joe Montana. And I told you earlier, I'm a Terry Bradshaw guy, but that's just how it is. On the flip side of that, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, if the Seahawks shut down Peyton Manning 1 year and they come back and shut down Tom Brady the next year with the walking wounded.
Yes, sir.
Then now we're talking about, you're talking about 85 Bears. Now we're talking about one of the greatest defenses of all time, particularly in this era where everybody scores 100 points a game.
There's one really important note that I need to say. Andrea just sent another tweet.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman is a Sagittarius with a Leo moon and a grand trine in fire. Yes, Lynch was keeping it real. I don't know what a Leo moon is, nor do I know what a grand trine in fire is, but here's what I got to say about it.
You've been listening to Marty McGee on ESPN Radio. Assuming they'll have us back, we'll be back in a couple weeks Saturday afternoon.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Joey Votto and the Reds head to Wrigley Field to face Chris Bryant and the Chicago Cubs.
Joey Votto, wow!
The first pitch Saturday is at 7 Eastern, Sunday at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio.